السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. الحمد لله. Last week we talked about some practical steps in developing khushu within our salah. In preparation for the holy month of Ramadan, mashallah, we will be doing plenty of various forms of worship, which include fasting, abstaining from sin, controlling our carnal desires, and also, most importantly, we will be performing our 5 salah with jama'ah, and we will be doing the night prayers, taraweeh, and inshallah, we will try to also perform the tahajjud prayers as well. So how can we maximize our salah? How can we find the true benefit within our salah? So last week we mentioned 2 practical points in developing khushu'. They were, firstly, you need to understand the importance of salah. And secondly, you need to recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, who you are standing before. And today we will mention some more practical points. Another step in developing khushu within our prayer is that we need to stop sinning, and we need to safeguard our eyes, we need to safeguard our tongue, and we need to safeguard our heart. Now we can realize that a lot of these things are done outside of salah. So the more perfect believers that we are outside of salah, we will find more khushu within salah. So to attain khushu, you have to push yourself to stop sinning by protecting your organs, in particular our eyes, our tongue, and our heart. We need to safeguard our eyes against looking at haram, whether online or in public. We need to stop our tongues from backbiting and lying, slandering somebody, swearing, and using obscene profanity language, and even saying hurtful things to other people. We need to keep good company, which will help us protect ourselves. It will protect ourselves. We need to protect ourselves from eating haram food, including that which is earned from haram money. The iman in our heart, it has a special nur. The more nur that the heart has, the greater the nur of our actions and words will be. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he explains that there are some believers whose actions ascend up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the nur of their deeds is like the light of the sun. It shines brightly with the nur from their hearts. The nur will keep them steady on the sirat, the bridge over Jahannam, and it will guide them to Jannah. Of the various deeds, salah in particular is a nur, as stated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim. Salah brings nur in our hearts. It brings nur in our face, and it will bring nur in our grave, and it will bring us nur in the akhirah. Those who observe salah with complete khushu, you will notice that they have abundant nur on their face. This is the same nur which illuminates the heart and opens the doors of ma'rifah, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this nur that also helps us to enjoy the sweetness of ibadah, the sweetness of worship. This nur of the heart is extinguished and put out when we commit sins, especially the sins of the eyes. The sins block goodness and nur from penetrating the heart. This is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, when the slave commits a sin, a black dot appears on his heart. And when he refrains from sin, and when he seeks forgiveness and he repents, his heart is polished clean. But if he sins again, it increases until the blackness covers his whole heart." And that is the rust which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in, "No, indeed, rather what they have been doing has rusted their hearts," mentioned in the glorious Quran. Hafiz ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he explains that the accumulation of rust on their hearts veil a person from recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereby preventing them from becoming acquainted and close to Allah. It hinders them from having vigilance, muraqabah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful of Him and being aware of His presence in this world. The consequence of their heart being veiled in this world is that they will be veiled and blocked from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next world. Hence why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, "No, indeed, they will surely be veiled on that day from their Lord." Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he mentions that, "Do not be one of those who curse and slander shaitan in public, that I don't worship him and I don't follow him, but we obey him in private." Sin after sin, this turns the heart into a sieve, preventing it from holding goodness unless we seek forgiveness and we make sincere repentance. Our hearts will die a spiritual death. In this manner, praying salah with khushu' will become impossible, because a dead heart cannot humble itself to its master. Fighting our nafs and subjugating it is essential to attaining khushu' in salah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he explains that for a servant to remain present in his salah and to be occupied with his Rabb, he must overcome his nafs, his lust and his desires. He asks, "How can a heart which is overcome by lust be captivated and is captivated by desires, and it is a stronghold of shaitan? How can this heart be saved from the whispers and distractions during salah?" We should lower our gazes and stay away from looking at anything which incites lust, especially when we are browsing the internet. This includes being very selective of who we follow on social media. Likewise, we should lower our gazes when we are outside the home, walking in the streets and in the workplace. Ar-Rabi al-Khaytham, rahimahullah, he was so strict in keeping his gaze lowered, he was a tabi, that some people thought he was blind. For 20 years, he was a regular visitor to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. Whenever the maidservant would see him, she would say to Ibn Mas'ud, "Your blind friend has come." And Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu would laugh at her remark. When Rabi would knock on the door, the maidservant would go out and see him. He would put his head down and he would lower his gaze. When Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu would see Rabi, he would say, quoting the Quran and give good news to the humble people. And he also mentions that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen you, he would have loved you because of the benefit, because of the good quality of lowering your gaze that you have. And three benefits that we can feel, Hafiz ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, of lowering the gaze. The first benefit that we will feel is we will taste the sweetness and the joy of our iman. The sweetness is far greater than the sweetness of what we have averted and taken our gaze away from. Because when you give up something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He replaces it with something far better. The second benefit that we will experience when lowering our gaze is that the heart will become illuminated with nur, thereby increasing our firasa, our insight. And we will be able to see through the light, the nur that has entered into our heart, that which other people cannot see. And the third benefit that we will experience is that it will straighten, it will strengthen our heart, make it steadfast, grant us istiqamah, and it will give us himmah against our nafs and fighting against shaitan. These are three benefits of lowering the gaze. If we get these, then we can surely attain khushu' within our salah. A fourth advice for attaining khushu' in our salah is to try and soften our heart. A sick, heedless, and hard heart is one of the greatest reasons for the lack of khushu' in salah. When the heart is rectified, the actions are also rectified. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is a lump of flesh in the body. When it is sound, the whole body and its actions will become sound. And when it is corrupt, the whole body will become corrupt and the actions will become corrupt. Truly, this is the heart. Those with hard hearts are condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is the one whose heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up for Islam and he is upon a light from his Rabb, like one whose hearts reject it? Can they be similar? Then woe to those whose hearts are too hard to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the people who have clearly lost their way. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns his believers of the hardening of the heart. And he says, has the time not come for those who have believed that their heart should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what has come down of the truth? Is it not time to accept all of these things? And then the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the earth after its lifelessness. We have made clear to you the sign so that perhaps you will understand. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he explains how this ayah indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens the hard hearts and he guides those who are confused after they have gone astray, and he alleviates hardships after they have become unbearable. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the dead, dry earth back to life by sending abundant rain down, He also guides the hard heart with proofs and evidences and signs and ayahs of the Quran. By inserting the light of Iman into these hearts are softened after previously being so hard. Therefore, my beloved brothers and listeners, do not give up. Even if we have struggled our entire life trying to attain khushu' in salah, we must have hope and we must beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts and make it receptive to Iman, the Quran, and be receptive to every form of good. So how can we soften our hearts? Some practical advices. Firstly, we must frequently remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongue and with our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly, it is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the hearts find peace. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest means of protecting a heart from becoming hard. This is because excessive talking about other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of its major leading causes. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not talk too much without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly excessive talking without the dhikr of Allah hardens the heart. And the furthest of people from Allah are those people who have hard hearts. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "For everything there is a polish, and the polish of the heart is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he explains that the heart rusts like copper and silver rust. Moreover, just as the heart can rust, it can also be polished through dhikr, to the extent that it can shine like a crystal mirror. Thus, when one person, he neglects dhikr, then his heart becomes rusty. And when one remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can begin to make his heart shine again. And there are two things which can cause a heart to rust. One is ghafla, being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is ma'asiyah, doing sin and going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conversely, the heart can be polished by two things. One is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second is seeking istighfar of our sins. Another practical advice of how to soften our heart is to avoid laughing so much. Excessive laughing hardens the heart. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do not laugh excessively, as excessive laughter deadens the heart." Another practical advice on how to make the heart soft is to remember death frequently. The heart of one who is heedless of death and has excessive hope in living is actually dead. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Frequently remember the destroyer of all pleasures," meaning death. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "I was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a man from amongst the Ansar came to him and greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he said, 'O Messenger of Allah, which of the believers is the best?' So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'He who has the best character amongst them.' So then he said, 'Which one of them is the smartest?' So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'The one who remembers death the most and he prepares for it. They are the smartest people.'" Another way to soften our hearts is to visit the graveyard and reflect on the situation of its residents. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I used to forbid you from visiting the graves, but now visit them, for it truly reminds you of the Akhirah." When Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he would stop at a grave, he would stand there and then he would begin crying until his beard was soaked in his tears. It was said to him, "Paradise and hell, fire, are mentioned. Jannah and Jahannam are mentioned to you, and you do not cry this much, yet you cry so much looking at the grave?" So he said, "Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'Indeed, the grave is the first stage of the hereafter. So whoever is saved from it, then what comes after it is easy. And whoever is not saved from it, then what comes after it gets worse and worse for him.'" So he said, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I have not seen any sight except that the grave is more horrible than it." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the torment of the grave. Another way to soften our heart is to regularly recite the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We send down in the Quran that which is a cure and which is a mercy for the believers." Ibrahim al-Khawwas rahimahullah, he said, "Five things cure the heart. Number one, reciting the Quran with tadabbur, with reflection. Second thing which will cure the heart is having an empty stomach, because a person will not be inclined to a lot of sin. The third thing which can cure the heart is the night prayer, the tahajjud prayer, our qiyamul layl. The fourth which can cure our heart is humbly supplicating and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the sun rises. And fifth thing that can cure our heart is keeping the company of the righteous." The last and final advice of how to soften our hearts is to feed the poor and to stroke the head of an orphan. A man once complained to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the hardness of his heart. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "If you want to soften your heart, then feed the poor and stroke the head of the orphan." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was known for his excessive weeping. In Makkah, he built a masjid in his courtyard in which he would perform salah and he would recite Quran. As he was a very soft-hearted person, he would not be able to control himself when he was reciting the Quran, and he would cry extensively. And the women and the children of the mushrikeen, they would actually come and gather to listen to his recital, to the extent that the chiefs of the mushrikeen, they became frightened that we should not let our women and children go there, for perhaps they might accept Islam after hearing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cry so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers and listeners, grant us all khushu within our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to reach the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan very beneficial for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to prepare for this holy month of Ramadan and allow us to take maximum benefit from it. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سبحان الله وأمر بهذه الدعوة الذي وعده الله الشفاعة يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد برحمتك.